Perhaps the Crossroads is a collection of sermons preached at Crossroads Baptist Church in Mobile, Alabama. The following sermon was preached by Assistant Pastor Stephen Newport on Sunday morning, June 23rd, 2019.
I don't know if you know this church, and I know you do. I think you, sometimes you got to be reminded of it, but I don't get the opportunity to tell you, but you have a great group of young people at this church. You really do. And Ms. Teresa and I are honored and privileged you get to work with them throughout the week, and just some special people that have an opportunity to change the world, and it's really exciting to see what God can do in and through them, and makes things like VBS and camp really exciting. It just does. So thank you for that. Excited for the opportunity to preach, and I totally dropped the ball, Brother Darren, all right? You can blame Pastor if he asks, all right? I was supposed to introduce you earlier, and it was not, I promise I'm not holding anything against you from when we floored the gym together. I promise I'm not. But Brother Darren Robinson is here. Most of y'all have met him already from teaching Sunday school and with Independent Baptist Builders, and just excited for him and his wife and his family to be here. They're going to be with us later for the evening service, and he's going to preach and be able to tell you just a little bit about what God's doing in and through their ministry as well, and just really excited. Most of y'all know him really well, and he's been a huge, huge blessing to our church and the projects we've been having going on. So make sure to meet him if you haven't before you leave this morning, and be back tonight. Be back tonight and be ready to hear, and I know he's got a message the Lord's laid on his heart. If you'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Familiar passage we're going to look at comes right before what a lot of people have as their, many people have as their life verse. Some people even have these verses we're going to read as their life verse. But I want to bring to you a message this morning and that the Lord has used in an incredible way in my life and continues to, but in a huge way, preparing me for what God has for me now, and truly believe to be able to prepare you for where you're at right now as believers. And hopefully it'll be a challenge and encouragement to you. If you look at me at verse number 1, 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. The Bible says, I charge thee, this is Paul writing in this letter, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Familiar verse, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love me, or that love his appearing. I want to preach you a message with the time that we have entitled Preaching the Word with Eternity in Mind. Preaching the Word with Eternity in Mind. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on his word. God, we again come before you, and Lord, humbly kneel, Lord, before you, asking, God, that you, Lord, would meet with us, Lord, and that we would do the things we need to this morning, Lord. The distractions, Lord, the busyness, the forethought of the day, the week, God, ahead, God, that we'd be able to put those things aside for these few moments, and that we'd focus onto into your still small voice. Lord, as you speak to our hearts, as there's things you want to challenge, things that you want to do, Lord, I pray that we as your people would listen and obey. Lord, we love you. Thank you again for your word. In your name I pray. Amen. Have you ever set out to do something and you had great intentions in mind, but it just completely fell through? I really hope I'm not the only person. I really hope you're looking at me like, no, okay. I've had that happen, and I don't know. There's the common cases of maybe there was the time that you decided I'm going to get up at a certain time of day to be able to accomplish other tasks. Okay, I'm gonna be able to get up earlier, and it just didn't happen. It just didn't happen at all. I decided I'm going to be able to do this, and it just did not happen. Maybe it was that routine, that exercise routine that you were going to be able to work out or exercise so many days of the week, and you had it set aside. You wrote it down on your list, and you had everything set aside, and then it just didn't happen. It just didn't happen. This was a big one for my dad. Maybe it was that you're about to go on a trip and you were bound and determined and threatened your children within an inch of their life that you were going to leave the house at this time for a road trip. How many of us, that just never happened? Never happened at all. Okay, all right. Did not happen. You have good intentions. You put those things in mind. You're going to leave at a certain time and it just doesn't happen. Maybe it was the time you were going to get started on that list of things that you desperately needed to get done around the house, and you even set aside and you thought, okay, I have this day, I have this afternoon, it's going to happen, and these things really need to happen, and it just doesn't. Circumstances, things happen and get in the way. You had the best intentions in the world, but things came up, and it just didn't happen. I remember one time as a kid that myself and my younger siblings, the ones that were younger than me, we had the greatest idea in the world, and it was a full-fledged intention, commitment, everything, and we were going to build the world's greatest treehouse down in our woods. There was this oak tree that was like twice the size of this pulpit. I mean, it was huge. My older brother had climbed up. He had already tied in the two supporting beams to be able to get started, to lay the plywood down, and we had a rope to go up there. This would have been like the Swiss Family Robinson-style treehouse. Like, we're excited. It was going to be the greatest idea ever. We did all kinds of things. We weren't just like careless about it. We knew we were going to have to actually like buy stuff to be able to do it, like funds. We started our home, like we had our jar and we hid it because that's what kids do when you set money aside from your parents. We hid it underneath the bathroom sink, and it was called the Treehouse Fund, and we put change in there because we knew we were going to have to buy materials, and we had plans. Man, I had drawn out blueprints for this house. Like, it was going to be great. It was going to be exciting. And there is still, to this day, those two pieces of wood tied up in that oak tree at my parents' house. It just didn't happen. The best intentions were there, but it just didn't come through. Things come up, and many times we have the right intentions to do something, but our circumstances and situations eventually detour us from our original goal. In this passage, Timothy has been exhorted to preach the word, but Paul fears that ensuing circumstances may throw the young preacher off track. To get us kind of a little bit of background to right where we jumped in and started reading, this is a letter. You have to treat it like a letter. It is God's word, but it's a letter. That's the setting through which it was written. It wasn't prophecy. It was a letter written to, not specifically to a church, but written to a young preacher. And it was a young preacher. He was at his first, what we believe to be his first position as preaching this church. And Paul wrote to him. He wrote to other young men like Titus and wrote to these different people to encourage them, to exhort them. Why? Because Paul was traveling all over the places, and some of these, he was actually in jail when he wrote some of these books, and he was writing them to encourage them, to exhort them to stay true, because it's not going to be easy. To stay the course, to finish the course. Just for living a godly life, if you look back at chapter 3, verse 12, Timothy more than likely would come under very real persecution just for living for Jesus Christ, for claiming the name of Jesus Christ. In the midst of having his first experience as a pastor, false teachers were becoming more and more prevalent in the day in which Timothy was trying to preach the word. Paul tells Timothy to continue in the things he has been taught as a child. In chapter 3, verse 15, I'm giving you the verses coming right up to it. He tells them, don't depart from the things your mother, your grandmother taught you. You need to stay the course, even though there's persecution that's coming, Timothy. Even though there's false teachers that are going to be whispering a lot of things in your ears, Timothy, you need to stay the course. Those things that you were taught as a young child, as a young man, those things that you grew up that I helped teach you, stay the course, Timothy, in those things. In chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, Paul also reminds that he has been given what he needs to accomplish the task, and that's the word of God. Those familiar verses right before, the word of God is quick, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He's basically given everything up to this big message he's about to tell Timothy. He said, Timothy, it's not going to be easy. There's going to be persecution. Timothy, there's going to be false teachers. Timothy, remember the things that you've been taught. Timothy, you're not fighting this alone. Timothy, you have the word of God with you. That is what you need. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. This is what you have. You have the tools and you are equipped, Timothy. Now, Timothy, let me charge you with something. Let me come with you with a charge. And for a few moments, church, I want you to be put in the place of Timothy. No, there's not necessarily preachers in this room, but there are believers, okay? Amen? There are believers, people who have not just been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, but people who are commissioned and challenged to spread the word of God. And that's where we're at. This charge that Timothy is about to get, I think if we study it a little farther, we'll find ourselves in similar circumstances. Even with this reminder, Paul feels it necessary to exhort Timothy as to why, as a man of God, he must consistently preach the word. First off, I want you to notice, believers preach the word in light of the coming judgment from God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the very first verse. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Paul charged Timothy by the Lord Jesus Christ, who was going to judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. It is Christ who will judge all men at his appearing. And it is important to note here that many times the basis of authority goes overlooked. Yes, the charge came from Paul, but Timothy was to preach the word because he would one day give an account before God, not Paul. Believers, we're challenged in church. Pastor does a great job at it. You're challenged in Sunday school and even in your own Bible reading. You're challenged to preach the word of God. You're challenged to be a witness, to be a light to those around you. But you have to remember where the chain of command eventually stops. That challenge, that commission is not something that makes you accountable to pastor. It doesn't make you accountable to your Sunday school teacher or your parents or anything like that. That chain of command, that accountability stops with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that Paul is saying, look, Timothy, I know things are going to get rough. I know it's about to get difficult, but Timothy, I'm charging you to preach the word. Why? Because one day you're going to have to give an account to God of how you did. He's the one that gets to read the report card at the end. It's not going to be your parents' teens. It's not going to be your employer. It's not going to be your friends. It's not even going to be your pastor. This charge to preach the word of God, to be instant, the things we're about to get into, Paul says, I'm giving you the basis, the authority of where this charge comes from. I'm vocalizing it, Timothy, but this charge comes from Christ because he's the one that you're going to have to give an account to. The basis of authority. As you read this passage over and over, you start to feel Paul's passion in these statements. He uses five imperatives, which would be a form of a command. In other words, these things he's about to tell him, these aren't like good ideas, throw up on a Sunday school wall, like feel good Christianity. These are things, Timothy, I'm telling you, these are things to do. I'm commissioning you. I'm commanding you to do these things. You're going to have to give an account to Christ for how you do. As believers, it's vital that you and I remember not only what we are called to do, but who it is that called us to do it. Your commission to preach the word is not just confined to when you get behind a pulpit or in a Sunday school class, but throughout your daily life. Paul explains to Timothy by whose authority believers are to preach the word, but he also tells them when they're supposed to do so. Believers proclaim the word regardless of whether or not it is convenient to do so. Witnessing to a family member, I'll just be the first one in line. Witnessing to a family member is not convenient. Why? Because they're related to you. You have to see them again. It's not convenient. You don't know how it's going to go out. It's not convenient to do it. Witnessing at work, not always convenient. Shifts that coincide, sometimes you don't have the exact same break. You have to see those people day in and day out. It's not always convenient to do that and to consistently preach the word. Parents, it's not always consistent or easy to preach the word and to have the word of God before your kids. It's not always easy. It's not always convenient. I'll say it even this, and those of you that work through the different ministries and King's Kids and Sunday school classes, you know you've been there. It's not always easy. There's not always these consistent fruits that happen as a result. But Paul explained to Timothy that it's important to remember whose authority this charge comes from. And that you're supposed to preach whether or not it's easy. It is really hard to be instant on Sunday bus visitation. When we have church-wide outreach, it's hard to be instant. It's hard to be instant day in and day out for Sunday school classes, or if you're on the rotation for nursery, or for Sunday school classes, or for King's Kids, or the different ministries, the kitchen ministry on Wednesday nights, or Vacation Bible School. It's not always easy, church. Paul recognized that. He tells Timothy, he's not blind and saying, Timothy, go on, my son. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be sunshine and rainbows in front of you. He tells him, it's going to be hard. It's not always going to be easy in front of you, Timothy. But look at verse 2. Preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. That word, or that phrase, out of season, means when you don't feel like it. When you're not being paid to do it. When it's not your official shift or your official assigned ministry. That's in season and out of season. In season, I'm signed up, it's my ministry, I'm here and I'm witnessing or I'm teaching. Out of season is when I'm at home and I'm by myself and it's me and my kids. In season is when it's church visitation and we're all knocking on the door and I have a partner with me. Out of season is when I'm at work and there's coworkers on either side of me. You starting to get the picture? In season and out of season, he says, Timothy, preach the word. When it's convenient and when it's not convenient. But remember, Timothy, who this charge comes from. Remember who you are accountable to, Timothy. We as humans, preachers, Sunday school teachers, naturally tend to flow to the path of least resistance, don't we? This can no longer be the case if we are commissioned by God to preach whether or not it's convenient to do so. Paul charged Timothy to preach the word by being instant in season and out. In the world in which you and I are called to proclaim the truth, the majority of the time it will not be convenient to do so. It is always easiest for us to give in to convenience, and this will not change until we begin to filter our actions by what is convenient to God instead of us. Remember that list of things at the very beginning that we had good intentions to do and they just didn't happen? Most of the time, now there's emergencies and things that happen. Most of the time, it's because we chose the path of least resistance. We didn't get up in the morning. Why? Because it's way easier to sleep. We didn't get that job done. Why? Because it's way easier and less stressful to not do it. But if we're not careful, church, we take that same convenient mentality into what God has put before us. And we take the path of least resistance and say, I know this is what God called me to do, but it's easier to do this. It's easier to settle for this. It's easier, not just, and Brother Stephen, I'm somebody who's involved, who's doing the things, and it may for you, the level of convenience may be doing just when you're in season. But man, when I'm out of season, that's a lot of commitment. That's a lot to ask for. It's a commission. Again, you have to remember who the commission comes from. It's somebody that we're accountable to, and that person is God. The passage then explains that the individual aspects of what it means to preach the word. Christians proclaim the word, which involves patiently rebuking reproving, and exhorting according to Scripture. In other words, he was to go through the laborious process of teaching, Timothy was, training, and discipleship. He was to do these things with long-suffering and the use of correct, sound doctrine. To do these three things in the midst of a time when it was not favorable to do so will take a time, it will take time and patience in working with the Scriptures. You've heard different people give testimonies, and I would say I fall underneath this as far as being guilty. People give a testimony and say, I got saved. I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and I was told that's what I need to do, and God spoke to my heart, and I did that. But then after that, I wasn't told what to do next. There wasn't a form of discipleship. And church, can I just tell you, it doesn't matter if it's your coworkers, if it's the kids in your Sunday school class, in children's church, or your family members, your own children, it doesn't matter who it is. The work of the ministry to be able to preach the word doesn't just involve telling somebody they need Jesus Christ, they need to be saved. It's a laborious work to disciple and to stick with someone, to call them, to continually be checking on them, and to make sure that they're growing. Sometimes that work involves rebuking. It involves reproving. You parents, I'm not there yet, but you know exactly what Paul's talking about. It involves rebuking. It involves the hard thing. It involves reproving. According, why? Not because it's what we say, but according to sound doctrine, according to the word of God. Paul says, Timothy, don't just give up and don't just preach the word. Stick with it, Timothy. Part of what you're called to do is to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort. Timothy, that is the work that you are called to as a man of God. And as men and women of God, that is the work that God has called us to. Why don't you think about the last person that you led to Jesus Christ? Some of you haven't had the chance yet to. That's okay. There's so many opportunities. The last person, those of you that have led somebody to Christ, I want you to think about the last person you led to Christ. And I'm going to put myself with you in a very uncomfortable situation for just a little bit, I promise. The last person you led to Christ, are they in church? Are they consistently reading their Bible? How's their family doing? That's part of the work that God has called us to, church. It's not just leaving somebody once they come to an altar and they get saved and they give their life to Christ. And that's wonderful. That's glorious. That's great. That's where we have to start. But ministering to people, ministering to the people around us, that goes beyond just preaching the word. That's reproving, exhorting, telling people, which is encouraging. Sometimes it means getting onto somebody in Christian love and saying, no, this isn't correct. This is what the word of God says. This is the standard that God holds for your life, for your family's life. This is for the standard that God holds for you personally. And that's work. That's a lot of work. That means calling people and calling them more than once, because most people don't answer the first time you call. Sticking with it, doing that work of an evangelist, to stick with him, to do it in season and out of season. This is and will not be convenient when the holidays come around, when it's extra busy at work. And honestly, when you don't see a lot of growth, those of you that work in the ministries and church, you are absolutely incredible at the being involved. The things like King's Kids Children's Church, the Vacation Bible School we're about to do here in 4 weeks, that doesn't happen without you as a church body. But as you sign up for those tasks, and you sign up for those things, and you're involved in those ministries, Paul was challenging Timothy. Timothy, don't just show up. Don't just teach the lesson. Don't just show up and preach that one time. Timothy, it means calling those people back. Timothy, it means following up with those kids in Sunday school. It means calling those people that didn't show up to Sunday school class, your Sunday school class, and finding out, hey, where are you at? I love you. I care about you. I know this may have been happening. What's going on in your life? How can I pray for you about that? That's work. That's the work of the ministry. That bus kid that you had in your class that was absolutely a terror and finally got a hold of their life. They need you to come knock on the door. They need you to come meet mom and dad. That's the work of the ministry, to stick with it, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort, whether or not it's convenient to do so. Your co-workers, friends, family. What Paul told Timothy will be important for us to remember as well. What you are called to do will take patience and continual study of God's word. Brother Stephen, the things that you're talking about, I'm not equipped to do those things. I'm going to back you up, okay? Because it's something I have to be reminded as well. Once you think about right before he told Timothy this charge, remember what he told him. He said, Timothy, this is going to get tough. You're going to face persecution. Timothy, remember the things you've been taught, which for us would be in Sunday school, at church. Remember those things you've been taught. Remember the things that your parents taught you. Timothy, you have the word of God, which is quick, it's powerful. It's used for all of those things that I'm about to charge you to do, Timothy. Church, if we have the word of God, we've got everything we need. Sometimes it just means we need to study it. I don't know how to do these things, these reproving, rebuking, exhorting with my kids, with my coworkers, with family members, with people in my Sunday school class or bus kids that come to children's church or these different things. The answers are in God's word. God's word tells us how to do all of those things. It's not a specific training regimen. It's God's word. And Paul told Timothy before he gives him this charge, he says, Timothy, you have everything you need to do this thing that I'm about to tell you. You've got it all. Sometimes that takes study of God's word, which takes time. It takes patience. Those of you that have jobs in the workplace and have people under you, you know this way better than I do. Working with anything that involves people takes time and patience, doesn't it? When we work with someone spiritually, I would say even more so. It just does. Paul charges Timothy and says, Timothy, my son, stick fast in the faith. Don't deter. Do it when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. Reprove. Be willing to do the hard things, the dirty things that require you to go a little bit above and beyond. Be willing to stick it out. Be willing to do the things that aren't comfortable but are needful. Timothy, don't measure your level of convenience by your own. Ask what's convenient for God. Do what's convenient for him. After delivering the charge to Timothy, the Apostle Paul then draws Timothy's attention to the upcoming circumstances that will give reason for the word needing to be preached. Look at verse 3. This is like, I love this. He charges him to do this, and then he's like, all right, Timothy, let me tell you what's on the horizon, okay? Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Wait, the doctrine I'm supposed to be reproving, preaching, teaching, exhorting? Yeah, they're not going to get that. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. What Paul was telling Timothy is that one day people would not endure sound doctrine. He was saying that they would no longer put up with it. They would no longer make the effort to be taught by right teaching. Instead, they would allow their sinful nature to determine those things that they would listen to. He says, Timothy, you're supposed to minister. Timothy, you're supposed to preach. Timothy, you're supposed to exhort. Timothy, you're supposed to be faithful in these different things. But Timothy, let me tell you what's coming up. You're going to minister to people that won't put up with the truth. Wait, what? It's like God telling the prophet, yeah, go preach this, but nobody's going to listen to you. You're going to minister to people that will not put up with the truth. You're going to minister to some people that are going to let their sinful, their lustful desires determine what they listen to instead of God. You're going to minister to people like that, that are going to turn aside having itching ears. In other words, drawn aside to whatever is most appeasing to them. People are going to listen. It's going to be a day, and you tell me if this starts to sound familiar, when people are going to start listening, not to the word of God, but listening to a word that makes them feel good inside. People are going to start listening to a gospel that doesn't tell them about sin and about hell and about salvation. They're going to start listening to a gospel that tells them about everything wonderful they have inside of them. They're going to start not wanting to go and to be a part of church and to commit to church. They're going to want to be a part of something that's kind of like this community family thing. They're going to turn aside to what is convenient. They're having itching ears for people to tell them what they want. Have you ever had a dog or have a dog? Dogs love for you to rub and scratch their ears. I don't know if you ever done that. I remember my chocolate lab I used to have. He passed away like a week ago. My mom called me, actually. It was a terrible day. Miss Debbie, I almost called you, all right? It was tough. But they were there, and my dog, I remember, he would be like standing way over here, and you could reach out and just barely start to scratch his ear, and his big head just like over towards you, okay? And it was just, why did he do that? Because he was drawn towards what felt the best. That's the day and age in which Paul said, Timothy, you're about to minister. You're going to minister in a day when people aren't saying, yeah, tell me I'm a sinner. Tell me about all the things I'm not doing right in my life, in my marriage, in my family. They're going to turn aside to people that are like, come in. We love you as you are. You're doing great. You're so awesome. There's nothing wrong. You just need to separate yourself from negative circumstances. People are going to turn aside to that kind of stuff. They're not going to give into. They're not going to listen to the word of God, Timothy. Timothy, that's what ahead. But Timothy, I'm charging you to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season. That means calling, knocking on a bus kid's door, even when they haven't come the last 3 weeks. I mean, sending a letter. Calling that member in your Sunday school class that hasn't been there, hasn't responded, hasn't really been a part, and is even turning away to other things, being consistent. It means telling the truth, telling somebody what God's word says for their life, even if it's not going to be what they want to hear. Not shying away, not turning away. Being consistent, being able to reprove and rebuke and exhort Timothy, be able to do that even in the day when people are going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Paul then directs his charge personally back to Timothy. Look with me at verse 5. He says, But Timothy, I know I just told you the doom and gloom. I just told you that your ministry is going to be really, really hard. But Timothy, in verse 5, watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, and make foolproof thy ministry. This term to watch, Timothy was to be alert, watchful, vigilant of the deception around him, not only for himself, but for those he ministered to. The word watch means to abstain, like the charge to abstain from wine, or to have sober judgment. This tells of what kind of mindset Timothy is facing and what was to come. Paul gives another reminder in verse 1 by telling him to be, or of what he said in verse 1 by telling him to be an evangelist. He then tells Timothy to finish and completely fulfill the ministry he was called to do. The main premise of what Paul was saying to Timothy was that he would have to answer to God for how he carried out his responsibilities as a man of God. Timothy, I know it's going to be rough. I know there's people, the people you're going to preach the word of God to are probably not going to be prone to listen to that. They're probably going to go after something that's a lot easier. They're probably going to turn aside to something else. But Timothy, watch thou. That term watch is the same in 1 Peter that talks about be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. In other words, Timothy, watch yourself that you are not turned aside first of all, yourself to those teachers having itching ears, turning aside to those teachers, to those easier terms. Timothy, watch yourself that you stay consistent. But Timothy, not only watch yourself, but you're responsible, Timothy, for the people you're ministering to help them to be watching, to be vigilant. That means watching out for your Sunday school class teachers. Parents, that means watching out for your children. But watch thou. Endure afflictions. Endure the things that are going to come. Make full proof of thy ministry. Finish it out well, Timothy. Finish it out. For the times that there is fruit, for the times that there isn't. Finish it out and do the full work. Don't just do it halfway. Don't just do what's convenient. Do what's not convenient. Timothy, give everything you have to what God has called you to do as a Christian. Make full proof of your ministry, Timothy. After explaining what Timothy was going through, Paul gives the reason why men and women of God must faithfully preach the word. He gives the whole reason. Believers fight the good fight, finish the course, and keep the faith because of the crown of righteousness that awaits. In verse 6, Paul relates to Timothy that he recognizes and is ready for his departure into eternity. After reading this passage, I noticed for the first time and was a little puzzled by the term when Paul said, I am now ready to be offered. That word offered, it will come from the kind of the Levitical term of like a drink offering that would be put, and it was well-pleasing to God. They would pour it. It would go around the base of the altar. That was the same, that martyrdom death that Paul knew, he foresaw and knew, this is how I'm going to die. This is how I'm going to go, Timothy. And he foresaw that and said, I am now ready to be offered. Man, can we say that? I'm ready. I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to be put forth before God. I know my death is coming. I know my end is coming. In verse 7, we find Paul giving his own epitaph. This is great. He doesn't talk about all the awesome things he has accomplished or what kind of person he has been. He specifically focuses on telling Timothy how he will finish. If we're not careful, we can read these verses of Paul saying, I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, and kind of read it almost as Paul saying, this is me, this is the things that I've done, this is how I'm going out, this is my last quarter, this is how it's going. But that's not the idea behind it. He was telling Timothy, look, this is how you are to finish. Timothy, you're just getting started in the ministry. Timothy, you're just getting started, and all these things are coming up in front of you, Timothy, and I'm at the point where I'm done. I'm about to depart. Soon after this, Paul was executed for the faith, for preaching the gospel. He died as a martyr. He knew that was coming. He was saying, Timothy, I am ready to be offered. I have finished. I've fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Timothy, this is the goal. This is how you ought to finish. This is how you ought to finish it. And this terminology of finishing the course, keeping the faith, this was recognizable to Timothy because of the Olympic Games and that idea of a runner going and finishing the race. Something that has to be said for finishing in the different things. It wasn't about who came in first, second, or third, who got the gold, silver, or bronze. It's a matter of, Timothy, did you finish? Did you fight a good fight? Did you finish your course? Did you finish it? Did you finish it well? Did you finish the kind of course that you ministered in time, instant, and in season and out of season? Timothy, did you finish well? Paul saying, this is how I am finishing. The phrase kept the faith is not referring to the grace of faith that is kept by Christ, the object, author, and finisher of it, and through his effectual grace and powerful intercession, but rather the profession of faith which he had held fast, without wavering, and chiefly the doctrine of faith, which was committed to his trust. Paul saying, I fought the good fight. That's spiritual, by the way. I fought. Yeah, the temptations, the struggles with my sin, my flesh, The struggles for the enemy to push me off course, to get me to turn aside to things that are easier, that sound good, that are more convenient. I fought the good fight. I've put up a really good fight, Timothy. I finished. I didn't stop short. I finished. I made sure I completed my work, and I kept the faith. The idea of keeping the faith is that faith, the word of God, the doctrine, the truth that was delivered to me, Timothy, I didn't turn aside. I didn't give it up for a gospel that was more convenient. I didn't give up my standards, not personal standards, but the word of God standards. I didn't give those up for what the world says is acceptable and what society says is acceptable. Timothy, I finished my faith and I kept the faith. I didn't let it go, Timothy. This is how I finished. Church, as a coworker, as a parent, as a grandparent, as a Sunday school teacher, as a King's Kids worker, how are you going to finish? How are you going to finish? How are you going to make it through the battle, the spiritual onslaught that the devil wants to put on your life personally and on your family's life? How are you going to finish? Are you going to be able to say, I fought the good fight? Devil made it rough, but I gave him what for? I finished. I finished well. I kept the faith. I kept the faith in my marriage, in my ministry. I kept the faith in my family. I kept the faith in how I raised my kids. I kept the faith. I didn't let anything else deter me. I let the word of God be my guide, be my standard, and I didn't depart from that faith that was delivered to me. Paul says, Timothy, this is my end. This is my end. Why do all of that, Timothy? Why? Why endure? Why endure hardship? Why give sound doctrine? Let me put it this way. Why show up with a Sunday school lesson every Sunday? Why have family devotions? Why try to witness to a coworker and stick with them every single week? Why do those things? Why minister? Why outreach, even when it's not planned at the church? Why do those things? Verse 8. I want you to look at it with me, church. Why preach the word? Why? Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And here's the cool part. Here's where you're entered in, all right? And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Preaching the word with eternity in mind. The reason you should consistently preach the word is because God has promised a heavenly reward. Even though it wasn't, it is what you and I are commissioned to do, it will not always be easy to consistently preach the word to your friends, to your children, at school, at Sunday school, on Wednesday night, at Teen Impact or King's Kids, at Vacation Bible School. It's not always going to be easy, even though the word of God has a plan for how to reach the world. We forget that the devil has one too. The devil has a plan for how you're supposed to reach the world. It's called settling for what's convenient. It's called settling and committing to as much ministry as is convenient for me. It's called settling to witnessing as long as it's not outside my comfort level. In the devil's eyes, you're extremely effective. It's not convenient, church. It's not. As eternity draws closer for each one of us, you must remember that your call to preach comes from God, therefore making you accountable to Him. Perhaps you are currently being bombarded with influences from those who preach contrary to the truths of Scripture. The society in which you and I live seems majority bent on turning aside from the truth. Paul gave Timothy a visual picture of him of his upcoming martyrdom. He said, I am now ready to be offered. Could you say the same thing as you step away from your ministry at church, from your family, from your home, from your workplace? Could you and I honestly say, look back at those things that God has put in our life and say, I am now ready to be offered? Why? I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And I did all those things. Why? Because I know there's a crown of righteousness awaiting me. Brother Stephen, time out. Are you telling us we should serve God on a rewards basis? No. But there is a reward. My obligation, first and foremost, is because I'm accountable to Christ. Paul says, Timothy, fight the good fight, finish the course, keep the faith, finish out well, do it while in season and out of season. And Timothy, if you finish well, if you finish completely, there's a crown of righteousness awaiting you. You have that to look forward to. As one who is called and promised eternal rewards by God, will you now faithfully fulfill the task to which you are called? Today, church, you can commit that before God, you will faithfully preach the word no matter the afflictions that come. Are you now ready to say, I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith? I'll leave you with this quote, we're done. A lifetime of faithfulness bears a crown for eternity. A lifetime. I don't know about you, but life is not always easy or convenient. A lifetime of faithfulness bears a crown for eternity. Are you, as an individual, as a believer, as a Christian, are you preaching the word with eternity in mind?
Thank you for listening to this sermon on At the Crossroads. We hope it was a blessing and encouragement. Please contact us with any questions or comments. Send email to pastor@crossroadsbaptistmobile.com or call us at 251-639-9500.